Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. Thanksgiving week here in America is a week to congregate with family and friends and sit around tables. So I've been focusing on tabletop games this week and will continue to do so. But I would be remiss if I did not highlight the next chapter in the ongoing and seemingly endless Star Wars Battlefront II loot box saga. On this episode of the Star Wars Battlefront II loot box saga, lawmakers are stepping in. It turns out lawmakers in Hawaii's state legislature and also the government of Belgium have both indicated a desire to investigate and regulate loot crates and in-game transactions in video games following the public outcry from Star Wars Battlefront 2. Representatives Chris Lee and Sean Quinlam in Hawaii held a press conference that talked about loot crates as a form of gambling and say they are preying on children. They name-checked Star Wars Battlefront 2 specifically and said that this practice needs to be regulated and perhaps banned as gambling is to minors. Quinlan said that it is not a new phenomenon, but it has moved into the main event. He said, quote, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is a AAA title that's being released by the world's largest gaming studio, and it has the most popular intellectual property attached to it, and it's marketed directly at children. He went on to quote Admiral Akbar by saying, it's a trap. This, of course, ignores the fact that EA removed the ability to spend real money on loot boxes in the game before it was released officially. So it kind of flies in the face of facts, but I think they're speaking to an overarching trend in gaming. And it's worrisome to think that this may affect free-to-play games and a whole wide range of loot box practices that aren't particularly offensive to me, that allow games to be priced for free and only involve cosmetic items. Yet still, I think these lawmakers see the idea of buying a mystery box in a game as problematic and in need of regulation. The idea would be to regulate all video games that use this practice, perhaps merely making them illegal to purchase for minors or outlawing the practice altogether. Gambling, of course, illegal in many states. The Wall Street Journal reported that Disney's chairman of interactive media, Jimmy Pitaro, contacted Electronic Arts chief executive Andrew Wilson about the matter and mentioned that Disney stepped in and ripped out all the in-game purchases as this story gained mainstream media attention and traction. This doesn't seem to be going away. Meanwhile, in Belgium, the country's gaming commission last week opened an investigation into loot box purchases in video games, and they have signaled that they want to go to the European Union to have action taken against games that employ loot crates and in-game purchases. How do you feel about this? Clearly, a lot of people upset about Star Wars Battlefront 2, Shadow of War, and a lot of other games that seem to be doing it in a nefarious way, but I also happen to like loot boxes in my Overwatch and my Heroes of the Storm, so I am of two minds about this one. What is your take? Should the government step in? Is this preying on children? Should games not be allowed to offer systems akin to gambling? I mean, I think many of us would just knee-jerk and say, oh, the government shouldn't step in, but is this gambling? Gambling is not legal. It's a sticky wicket indeed, but we will continue to talk about it. I'd love to hear your take, and I will continue to cover it on Newest, Latest, Best. Okay, on to board games. I want to tell you about a couple of more games I played at BGG Con last weekend, and they are of a theme. Yesterday, I talked about a couple of social deduction games that are a lot of fun. Today, I'm going to talk about a couple of one versus many games. These are a style of game that has gotten in vogue lately. The idea is one player plays a very powerful force, and everybody else is playing against that player. So I've talked about Doom, the board game, as an example of this. Imperial Assault is another example of this. Fury of Dracula. It's a very, very in vogue kind of game. Not my favorite kind of game, but when those games are good, they're very, very good, like Imperial Assault. So I played a couple of them. The first I'll talk about is a game called Hunt for the Ring. This is a Lord of the Rings themed game that's split into two halves. So there's actually two sides of the board, and you play the game in two halves that each have their own endpoint. And most of these games, you have the big, bad, evil overlord as the single player, and all the good guys are the individual players trying to take down that evil overlord. That tends to be the case with these one versus many games. But this flops it on its head, and the one player plays all of the fellowship players, plays Frodo and Samwise and the entire fellowship, and everybody else plays Nazgul, trying to hunt down Frodo and capture him, infect him with, Sauron sadness, whatever that is, whatever the overwhelming force of Sauron's evil is. They're trying to get Frodo, prevent him from bringing the ring in the first half to Rivendell, to the Fellowship, and in the second half to Mordor. And Frodo, the single player, can move throughout locations on the map of Middle-earth secretly. He's able to move around, and the Nazgul don't know exactly where he is. They're trying to find him. They're trying to search and find remnants of where he has been. And so the Frodo player is marking down on a little secret sheet all the locations he's been, and the Nazgul players can move throughout the world and search locations, and they can sniff out if he's ever been there. So they ask the Frodo player, have you ever been in this location? And if he has, he says yes. And so they sort of create this map of where Frodo has been and try to narrow him down, all the while Frodo is desperately trying to get from one end of the map to the other without being discovered. It's pretty fun. It's a deduction game in the sense of you're trying to eliminate areas and come up with clues and deduce where Frodo is before he's able to escape. And then once if he does get to the end of the map, he flips it over, and that starts anew with some slightly altered rules, and he is now on his way to Mordor. So it's really thematic. It's really interesting. It's got some cool miniatures, a big, meaty game. Not my favorite type of game, but I was playing as one of the Nazgul in our playthrough, and it was pretty fun trying to find Frodo. It felt a little slow-paced. But when you found him, it was a pretty exciting thing of the Frodo player trying to escape as we narrowed in on his location. Hunt for the Ring, it is called. I played another one versus many game at BGG Con. This one is called Not Alone, and it is a sci-fi themed experience where one player is playing the big, malignant, evil alien force that's trying to stamp out all of the human, intrepid human spacemen that are trying to stay alive long enough to move their token across the board into a safe area. So if the alien player finds any of the humans, he's able to move his token forward, and whoever reaches the center of the board first, starting from either end, wins the game. So similar idea here from Hunt for the Ring in that it is a search and destroy mission. In this case, though, the multiple players are the ones trying to stay hidden, and the alien, the single player, is the one trying to whack-a-mole and find them. And the way this works is much simpler than Hunt for the Ring, actually. It's a series of card locations, and each of those locations, when visited, activate a special power. So each of the players has a hand of cards with each of the locations that has been revealed so far, and they secretly choose one location to visit. They can talk amongst themselves, but they have to do it in full view and in full openness with the alien character. So you can make a plan as to where you guys are going, but he has to be able to hear it, right? So you secretly choose cards where you're going to be, and then the alien player selects where he is going with his alien presence. And if any of the characters, if any of the players are on that space, whack, he got them, and he gets to move his token forward. If they go to places he is not visiting, they get to activate the special power on that location. And some of those locations actually open up new locations. So they make it exponentially harder for the alien presence to find them because there's more options for him to try to whack the mole. It plays quickly. It plays real slick. The art is really great. And we had a blast. I liked Not Alone quite a lot. This much, much more than Hunt for the Ring, in my opinion. And it was fun playing, you know, both the alien overlord and the human characters trying to outwit. It turns into a game of what the Iocane powder from Princess Bride, you know, with Wallace Shawn. I know that you know that I know that you know that I'm going there. So I definitely can't go there. I certainly can't drink the wine that's in front of me. It's that kind of situation where you're trying to, you know, double fake out the other players and figure out where you're headed. And we all just said we're going to location 5. So we definitely aren't going to location 5, right? Because we had this unspoken agreement that, oh yeah, let's all go to location 5. And then the alien player is like, well, I just heard them go to location 5. So they're definitely not going to location 5, except that's what they think that I think. So I'm definitely going to location 5 because it's a double reverse fake out. It's that kind of fun. And it really is a good time. So that's called Not Alone. And those are two fun games that I think play a good number of players and could be a good Thanksgiving gaming experience.